Welcome back to the show, episode 107. Finally back in studio. I know it's been 2 weeks. I actually did record a show with my buddy Vince Serrano. Shout out to him. Youngest in the Yacht Club. It's like an entrepreneur podcast. I was going to put that on my platform just as like a cross episode, you know, bring him, you know what I'm trying to say, a dual episode, I guess, but it's still being edited. So sorry for the delay. I am back. Good to be here. Hope everyone had a good holiday. I know I got to spend some time with my family, which was nice. So yeah, we are back. A nice cool night here in Florida at 67 degrees. Everyone in New York and Canada, settle the fuck down. Now we got some listeners in Germany. Oh, that is not cold. It is in Florida. I was in LA for a week and everyone was making fun of me because I was shivering because it was 48 degrees. And I was like, dude, I got that Florida blood back in me. I'm like a lizard again. I need a heat lamp above my head. Otherwise, I can't survive. So let's just jump right into it here. I don't know if you guys saw the guy that fell off the Carnival cruise ship. A drunk guy fell overboard and he treaded water for at least 15 hours, almost a day. He was in the ocean and the Coast Guard finally found him. When James Michael Grimes fell overboard on the Carnival cruise ship in the Gulf of Mexico, he said the sheer will to live along with the strength from God kept him alive as he miraculously swam for what he believes was more than 15 hours. Grimes, 28, who described himself as an average guy who likes hunting, fishing, and being outdoors, was rescued late on Thanksgiving Day. Yeah, you better like being outdoors if you're in the fucking ocean for 15 hours. Holy shit. The Alabama native was on board the Carnival Valor with 18 members of his family. They probably all had matching shirts too. It was the night before Thanksgiving when Grimes, who was on board at the bar with his sister, went to use the restroom around 11 p.m. His sister recalled, according to the Carnival statement. Last thing he remembered before regaining consciousness in the water was going to listen to live music aboard the ship with family. He said he doesn't remember where or how he fell off the ship. He'd had drinks on the Valor, but says he was not inebriated. Yeah, you were. How do you claim that you're not drunk, but fall off a cruise ship and didn't regain consciousness until you hit the water? And by the way, nothing probably sobers you up faster than falling 40 feet into the Gulf of Mexico. I was trying to stay as positive as I could from the moment I came to and regained consciousness. I can just remember right then thinking, wow, it's a miracle that I'm not already dead, Grimes said. And he described himself as an average guy, and I think that's a fair statement, being that he looks like every guy I've ever sat next to on a Southwest flight. Just a create a character looking motherfucker. Just, I don't even know if that's a bowl cut. I don't know what that is, but he's just, you know, just a good Southern boy trying to get fucked up on a cruise and ended up in the ocean. He said he swam through two schools of jellyfish and watched the sunrise during his time in the water. He said he lost almost 20 pounds during the experience. Holy shit. You tread water for so long, you see the sunrise. See if we could play the interview here. Of course there's an ad. Everything is an ad nowadays. You can't watch a 15-second clip without watching a 58-minute ad for an electric toothbrush. Come on.
Do you remember falling off the boat?
No.
You don't know how it happened?
No, ma'am. I came to regain consciousness. I was in the water with no boat in sight. A stick come floating by. Looked like bamboo. So I started eating on it. I'm not gonna say it tasted good, but it gave some type of flavor in my mouth other than salt water. And he told me to hold on to this life vessel, and I was just thinking, thank you. You know, you're like a guardian angel coming down for me.
I mean, he seems like a sweet guy, you know, but they couldn't put him in a suit. They couldn't dress him up. Why does he have to look like a Target employee in front of America? The Lord gave me the will to live. It's a miracle. I wasn't going to give up at any point in time. Just say, this is it. This is the end. It never came to that. I was determined to swim until my arms and legs could not hold my body up anymore. It was like a 20-hour baptism. He also battled confusion, fatigue, and some sort of creature below. It came up to me really quick, and I went under, and I could see it. And it wasn't a shark, I don't believe, but it had more like a flat mouth. And it came up and bumped one of my legs, and I kicked it with the other leg. It scared me, not knowing what it was, but all I could see was a fin. Grimes also said he had conversations with God during his time in the Gulf. Lord, my worst fear is drowning. I don't know why you put me out here in this trial, but I know you're going to get me through it, he recalled saying. It wasn't a matter of if I get saved or if they find me. It was just a matter of when. And I just got to keep swimming until they do. Grimes' family had reported him missing at noon on Thanksgiving. So what the fuck? He fell off the boat at 11 p.m. and y'all didn't start looking for him till noon on Thanksgiving? I mean, dude, the whole family was probably just absolutely hammered. And this is the other thing, dude. I'm a firm believer in God and all and everything, and I'm not going to question anyone else's, you know, trials and tribulations. You know, I'm the last person to do that, but to fall off a cruise ship drunk, they don't have any cameras on this, by the way. Gotta have some kind of camera, unless someone threw him over. I mean, my thinking was he had one too many Jack and Cokes and just did a front flip off the boat. And now he's saying, Lord, I don't know why you put me in the water. You put yourself in the water. What does the good Lord have to do with you flying off a Carnival cruise? But I mean, damn, 20 hours in the ocean? I mean, that's beyond Navy SEAL training. If you can tread water for 20 hours, I mean, holy shit. I honestly probably would have just died from embarrassment. What's the next Thanksgiving going to be? Hey, hey, James, remember this time last year you done fell off the Carnival cruise? Hey, James, pass me that gravy boat. Actually, never mind. We'll have your brother do it. I know how you are with boats. We don't want you falling off the gravy boat. I mean, dude, he's never going to hear the end of this. Wait, let's go ahead. We got the footage from the Coast Guard pulling his naked ass out of the water. Ugh, so embarrassing. Not only to fall off of a boat, but to fall off a cruise ship in some cheap Hawaiian Marshall shirt. Just absolutely smacked. And then you got to watch as the boat slowly disappears over the horizon playing some shitty song. Sweet Caroline, ba, 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 good times never seem so good. Holy shit! Fuck! Oh my God, dude. What an absolute nightmare. It was like a 20-hour baptism. God, I love people from Alabama, bro. Oh, they're the best. It's nothing better than just a sweet southern boy. That came out wrong. Sound like the Pope. Nothing better than a sweet southern boy, if you know what I mean. So if you're watching the YouTube, you can see I'm rocking the always comfortable Trill Trees hoodie. Shout out to Trill Trees. Can't find any of my clothes. I bought like a new pair of jeans, a few shirts, like a sweater, some socks, and I just cannot. It's almost like I got off an airplane and then never went to baggage claim. I just never picked up my suitcase. That's how I'm missing so many pairs of clothes that I don't know. I'm not even mad anymore. If someone was just like, hey, you're never going to get these clothes back, but we're going to tell you where they are, I would be happy with just that. I called a girl I was dating, for a couple months, and I was like, hey, by any chance are my clothes at your house? And then she said, they're probably at your other whore's house. I was like, okay, so is that a no? Can you check the laundry room? See if they're there. The hell is that? They're at your other horse house. I'm like, okie dokie. All right, I guess I'll go back to Target and buy more clothes. By the way, $6 t-shirts at Target, fire. All you need. Oh, I went to a UFC fight with Chip. It was in Orlando, December 3rd. It was awesome, man. I always wanted to go, and we got seats last minute in the upper deck. And it was cool because we had the giant screen right in front of us, and then down below the screen you could see the fighters. It was hard not to look at the screen, but it was cool to, like, even if you were only watching the screen, it was cool to be in there and see, you know, 20,000 people. But yeah, we were, we got there at, the fight started at like 6. We got there at, it was like 7:30 or 8, but the main event's at 10 p.m. So there's just like so many fights. And we were walking through the tunnel to our seats, and you just hear, like the place just erupts because someone got knocked out. And I was like, holy shit, dude. It's just the energy in the stadium is insane. When someone's just getting pieced up against the fence, the crowd just goes nuts. And for the first 20 minutes, I mean, probably for the first hour I was watching the fights, it felt very barbaric. Not even going to lie. It's one thing to watch it on TV, but to be in the arena and just see the whole, you know, it was the Coliseum, essentially. And the people that were in the stadium were the same people. Let's just say if people were getting stabbed with spears and beheaded, these would be the same. These people would go to that event as well. The only reason that they're not watching people get killed with swords is because it's not allowed. That's just what it felt like. I was like, this is no different than ancient Rome. It was just a very something in me was like, you shouldn't be here, but also this is awesome. I can't explain it. It was just fucking wild, especially because you can't hear the announcers. You always hear people like, you can't hear the commentary. You can't hear the coaches or anything. You can if the stadium's quiet, you can hear the coaches screaming, you know, in the corner at the fighters. But dude, it was just, wow. People just wanted blood. They wanted to see someone die. That's the energy that was in there. It was, at one point, they were, you know, these two guys were on top of each other, and they weren't really fighting. They were just kind of grappling, scrambling, I think as they call it in the jiu-jitsu world. And people just started screaming, we want violence. We want violence. And I was like, these people are fucking animals. These are the same people that are in I-4 traffic here in Orlando. Of course they want blood. They're always ready to kill. And then I thought, like, oh, maybe it's because we're in the upper deck, the cheap seats. Not that they were cheap. I mean, they're still $150 to sit up high. But I was like, maybe it's because we're up here, people are animals, you know, $100 seats, a lot of people can, you know, afford it. And then you look down at the people sitting in the floor and they're going absolutely insane. And you're like, oh no, everyone here is an animal. It doesn't matter if you have $10,000 to spend on a ticket or $1,000. And I just sat there with my arms folded. I was just enjoying the atmosphere. I don't think I really ever cheered. I don't know. I'm not the type to just be like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, yeah, it's just not me. but man, this, I don't know if you guys watch UFC, but there's this guy, Tai Tuivasa. He's from Australia, and he's like a fan favorite. He's famous for, after he wins, he climbs the cage. Someone throws him a beer and a shoe, and he does a shoey where he drinks a beer out of a shoe. Very disgusting, but like I said, crowd full of animals. People love it. Well, anyway, he was a heavy favorite, but some Russian guy, Sergey, like 6'5", 280, just fucking destroys him in like 20 seconds. I mean, just like unreal. And the guy next to me, he was sitting there by himself. He just showed up alone, which I thought was, I respect that, dude. I love someone who can just go to a bar by themselves or, you know, a restaurant by themselves. I've done that, dude. People are like, oh, it's so embarrassing to sit in a booth by yourself. It's like, no, that's the fucking greatest thing ever. But anyway, the dude sitting next to me was by himself. And he just looks over at me after the Russian guy just dismantled Tai Tuivasa, and he goes, I bet you he could knock out this whole stadium. And we were just, it was the funniest thing ever because it's probably true. If we all lined up outside of the cage like we were waiting for Chick-fil-A, that guy could have probably just one-hitter quittered the entire stadium. The other thing that blew my mind about the UFC is there was this one fight. It was like the 185 weight class. I think that's light heavyweight. But they weren't like, for the first round, they weren't hitting each other. They were just throwing like these feints and these jabs, trying to just, you know, see the distance because they're both murderers. I mean, dude, and in the UFC or any fight, it's like one hit to the jaw, it's over. So when you have two killers in front of each other, they're not just going to swing wildly. So the crowd started booing, like, boo, fat people booing absolute killers. Just, boo, you fucking suck. And my thing is, dude, if you boo a UFC fighter, I think a claw should pick you up like the crane game and just drop you into the cage with them. And then they can both beat your ass. That should be a rule. Dude, nothing more disgusting than a drunk fat guy eating a hot dog, booing a UFC fighter. Just the balls of that. Going to that event showed me that no one cares about your accolades or your achievements. Truly, no one cares. You could be undefeated. You could be the greatest of all time. If you're not shedding blood, if you're not destroying someone or being destroyed, the fans don't give a shit. That was my takeaway from the whole thing was like, oh, all your achievements, nothing really matters. How do I explain this? Okay, I have a photo of Tesla here on my wall. And it's like the dude basically recreated, I don't know what you believe, but my thing is the ancient pyramids are power plants. I could be right. I could be wrong. Look it up. Do your own research. Maybe I spent way too much time smoking weed and staying up till 4 a.m. watching Ancient Aliens. But the whole free energy thing about how like electricity should be wireless. Anyway, Tesla invented it, or maybe he used the plans from the pyramids, whatever you believe. No one gives a fuck, dude. You tell the average person, oh, are you a fan of Nikola Tesla? They go, isn't that the car company? And it's like, no, that's who it's named after. But anyway, it's like no one cares, dude. Who invented the computer? No one gives a shit is what I'm trying to say. Life goes on. I don't know. I still don't know if I'm getting my point across. I'm basically saying do what you want to do in this life because at the end of the day, no one gives a shit. And maybe that's crazy, but that's what I took away from the UFC was like people don't care. They just want blood. That's it. Yeah, fun experience. It is definitely different when you don't hear the announcers. They just, you hear the, it's not a bell, but it's just like, meh. It's like a horn. Boxing does ding, ding, ding. You know, the UFC is like, meh. It's almost like a basketball buzzer. And then the lights come on in the crowd. And then everyone gets up and goes, you know, to get another beer. So it was just wild. It was like, they play music, a guy walks out of the tunnel, gets into the cage, the fight start, you know, Bruce Buffer does his thing, the fight starts, and then they go back to their corners, and you just don't really hear what's going on. I'm sure if you sit on the floor, you can hear a little bit more of the action, but I think they definitely put mics on the or under the mat, like wrestling, WWE, because every time someone would stomp or fall, it would go boom through the sound system to kind of make it feel like it's more intense than it is. Or, you know, we were high up enough, like if someone got kicked in the leg, you heard, pah! And I was like, that guy either got kicked really hard or there's like microphones down there. But overall, man, pretty wild experience. Definitely would go back. I'd love to go to the one in Vegas. But yeah, it was cool to be there last minute. And because I am a huge fan of MMA, UFC. Part of me wishes I never stopped fighting. stuck with it. I ended up doing that for a little bit, and then I went in, I played every sport, and then in high school it was like football and weightlifting. But had I stayed into the fight gyms and, I sparred and stuff back when it was like points, you would wear the headgear, the chest thing, and it had like a red dot and a blue dot, and it was like a point system. Like if you got kicked in the chest, the other person gets a point. If you got kicked in the head, well, I mean, you weren't allowed to kick in the head in like when I was like, I think it was like, I was like 8 or 9, but there was like a whole like point system. But yeah, look up Taekwondo tournaments. It's nuts, dude. It's a lot of it is just like spinning head kicks and kids just getting fucking knocked out. Definitely not healthy, but it's badass, man. And yeah, I'm like, dude, I'm 6'4", 180. I'd probably cut weight. I don't know if I could fight at 155. I don't know if there's there is a 170 division. I could probably 6'4", 170. I feel like if I had proper training, I'd be a fucking threat. Just because I am still flexible, dude. It was a Korean school, and they would put you'd put one leg against the wall. Like, you'd have your back up against the wall with your heel against the wall, and then they would take your other leg and push it all the way up above your head to where you were doing, like, a standing split. And one guy would hold the leg that's on the ground, and the other guy would hold your other leg. And they basically just force you to do a split every day. And this was back in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s, when parents would just sit there, in the dojo and just read a magazine. And you'd be like, fuck, 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 fuck. Kids were crying, but they're like, quit being a pussy, Back when stuff was cool. That would never happen now. Yeah. They would never give, maybe they do, I don't know. But, they gave us like knives and shit, and we're teaching us how to fucking, it was badass. But yeah, I'm just like, man, had I stuck with it, could I be, one of the greatest fighters of all time? Maybe I sound dumb, but I don't know. I feel like, if I really put my heart into it, I could have done some damage in the UFC. But I would rather sit here on this podcast, honestly, and talk to you versus getting kicked in the head. Because, you say that now, like, oh, I would love to be in the UFC. But it's like, dude, some of those guys just get worked. Even the best guys, dude. Even, like, it doesn't matter how good you are, you're still going to get hit in the cage. Eventually, you're going to meet that guy that's like, nah, your run is over. Like, as much as I loved watching McGregor, it's like his time came to an end rapidly. And it's like all those shots you take in training, all those shots you take in the, in sparring, and then you get in the cage, and it's just like, you just get paired up with a fucking killer. Anyway, that was my takeaway. Had a lot of fun shows the last 2 weeks. It's been good. I've been all over Florida, Melbourne, Tampa, Sarasota. Just kind of like touring Florida. So I'm enjoying that. Shout out to Jimmy Moynihan. He's been putting me on a lot of shit. And he's been good to me. So I'll be back in Melbourne, Florida Thursday at Pineapples. It's upstairs. They have a comedy club. It's like a really nice 3-story restaurant bar. But yeah, upstairs they have what's called the Moon Room. You've probably seen it on my Instagram. It's got like all the flashing lights, like the stars behind you. And it's a fun spot, man. People in Melbourne, people in beach towns, at least on the East Coast, they don't give a shit about anything, dude. They gave up in the 90s. But like performing at the beach in LA, like Santa Monica, those people just don't know how to, they don't know how to have a good time. A lot of it's like old money. They're very like, they get offended on behalf of people. You make a race joke or a... What you joke about anything and they go, ooh, oh no. Oh, I work in HR. I can't laugh at this. And it's like, you're not going to lose your fucking job if you laugh. Stop being offended on behalf of someone else. And it's like, dude, you make a black joke. All the black people are laughing. And then they're like looking around like, is it okay to laugh, black guy? And it's like, it's a fucking comedy show. Anyway, I'm getting heated for no reason, but it's just like, God, I love the East Coast, bro. California, most beautiful state in the country, hands down, but just full of vaginas. Like actual I hate to say the word pussies, but they're just, that's what they are out there. Just a bunch of, and not all, not everybody, there's a small percentage, but it's just such an easy life. And it's like, that's what it breeds. You know, it's like New Yorkers, everyone's got the East Coast, they got that edge because it's cold. Florida's just wild as it is. I think the humidity gets to a lot of people. But most people in Florida are from up north. They migrate. As soon as their hair turns white, they come down here. They cash out their 401k, and they just drink until they die. And it's a good fucking time. That's why I'm going to have a hard time ever leaving Florida, if I even do. The only place I would live other than Florida would be probably Mexico or Switzerland at this point in my life. That's the only thing I can think of. Otherwise, I don't even like Orlando either, but I'm growing to love it because it's central. If I want to go to Melbourne, it's an hour. If I want to go to Sarasota, it's 2 hours. But it's like, I'm central. So, yeah, we get it, Sean. You're in central Florida. Okay, fucking, all right. But yeah, a lot of good shows. Thank you, everyone, who's been sharing the clips. I'm always going to say thank you. One of the jokes I posted November 11th, just, I don't know how the algorithm works, but it's going absolutely insane. It's about to push 500,000 views, and it's got 60,000 shares. 60,000 people have shared the video, which is like mind-blowing to me. You know, that's three stadiums, three Amway arenas where I just saw the UFC fight. It holds 20,000. That's three of those. It's just nuts to think about. But I'm so grateful. Thank you, guys. I mean, if you're listening to the podcast, you're one of the realists because you're invested in what I'm doing. So I appreciate you. Like, share. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review if you could. It takes 5 seconds. Just put like LOL. I don't give a shit. But yeah, subscribe to the YouTube, the Instagram, man. At I'm Sean Madden. I'm Sean Madden. Really appreciate it. And the last show I did, it was like Christmas theme. It was at the Improv. They had a Christmas tree on stage, which is always nice. You know, you feel like you're at home. It's a very welcoming show. And I was doing some crowd work. I couldn't figure out. It was the weirdest audience ever. And I love performing in front of, you know, all types of people. But, I mean, you want to talk about diverse. Dude, we had a table of, it was like a table of old women in the back, like a party of 12. A couple of frat bros, you know, the only ones with the beer bucket on the table. You had like four Brazilian tourists. And then there was a goth couple in front of me. They had like the big gauge, you know, they had the big gauges in their ears, the tattoos, black hair, black fingernails, you know, the whole thing. And that was fun. And then the table to the left of me, stage right, if you will, it was like 20 girls and none of them were really laughing the whole night. I don't know if they like, I feel like they got free tickets and they didn't really know what they were signing up for, you know, but they weren't laughing. And I asked the table, I said, whose idea was it to come here? And one girl like, you know, reluctantly raised her hand. And I go, well, it seems like all your friends hate you. And then they finally all laughed because they're like, yeah, we do hate this bitch. Like, why are we here? We could be at Starbucks or whatever. We could be watching our shows with our dogs. Ugh, every girl has a dog nowadays, dude. God. I went over to this one girl's house the other night and she's like, just wait here for like 30 seconds. I'm going to go put my dog away. And I'm like, oh God, everyone has a fucking dog. And I don't hate pets, but I don't need a big dog jumping on me, you know? It's just too much. And I wear all black. I think that's part of the reason why I don't like pets is because I always just wear all black. And as soon as I leave someone's house with a dog, I'm just covered in orange fur. If it's a golden retriever, I got blonde fur all over me. Yeah, the German Shepherd was like black and gray hair. Yeah, she had a German Shepherd, dude, 120 pounds. the biggest, scariest dog I have ever seen in my life. And she finally lets it out, and it just immediately charges me. And it was like showing its teeth. It was going, rrr. And she goes, oh, he's just scared. And I go, yeah, me too. Holy shit, that thing is a beast. She goes, he's not a beast. He's adorable. I go, if you don't feed that thing for a week, it would fucking eat you. And she's like, yeah, maybe you're right. And I brought steaks over. We're grilling steak. This thing's sitting right next to me the whole time I'm eating. Just so I gave it probably half my steak. I went to bed hungry just so this dog didn't. You know what I mean? I'm like, that thing has killer DNA. And she just kept denying it. She's like, no. No, he doesn't. He's a sweet dog. I go, if this was the 1940s, that thing would be chasing Jews through the woods. That's a fact. German Shepherd, they were designed. There's a reason why the military and the police use German Shepherds. The scariest ones are the ones that only respond to German commands, too. When they fucking bite your arm and they're like, hush, what the fuck is that? And then it lets go of you. You ever seen those videos? My God. And the whole night I'm making jokes. Like, dude, German Shepherds have the biggest ears. And I was just grabbing its ear, and I was going, once I got friendly with it, I was grabbing its ear. I mean, I had to feed it half a steak for it to be friendly with me. I was pinching his ear, and I was like, oh, look at you. You would have found Anne Frank, wouldn't you? You would have heard the footsteps in the attic. These are jokes. We all know Anne Frank wasn't real. Jokes! Anyway. But yeah, I prefer a killer dog over like a little chihuahua wiener dog any day. Something that just yaps and bites, humps your leg. Like, I prefer dogs that I'm like, oh, this thing could kill me. I respect that. I don't respect a yappy dog. I just want to kick it like a field goal. But like something that's like, I fucking love that shit, dude. So yeah, I got on one knee to pet this thing, and I stood up kind of quick, and it went, I just freaked the fuck out. And I was like, was this thing a rescue by chance? And she's like, yeah, how do you know? I'm like, well, because it freaked out when I moved quick. So that's why I ended up giving it half my steak. I even told her, I was like, give it some of your steak right now, please. Yeah, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, the table of women that weren't laughing. Yeah, I was like, oh, your friend hates you. They all laughed. And then I go, look, even your Asian friend, I go, look at your Asian friend. She's the most pissed off. She's like, I could be at home studying. And then that got a big laugh, right, from everyone except for that table. And I wondered why. But then as I turned my back to go talk to the other table, I hear, we're all Hispanic, asshole. And then I just ignored that. I was like, we're not even going to open that. And I was like, you know, I could have said something, but I'm like, just act like that didn't happen. You know? Oh, we're all Hispanic, asshole. And I'm like, dude, this girl, I swear to you, she was the most Asian I have ever seen. Like, she just must have been on a lot of edibles because, I mean, it was the eyes. I'm not going to lie. Black hair, squinty eyes. Okay. It is what it is. But dude, that haunted me. I got home, I was smoking a cigar, and I was just thinking about that. It just kept replaying in my head. We're all Hispanic, asshole. I was like, that set could have went so south. But it didn't. It was a fun time. And that's why I don't like to do crowd work. I like to just do my act and get the fuck off the stage. But what I've learned over the last 8 years is sometimes you have to do crowd work. Because if the audience is weird or they're uptight, you got to go, what the fuck is your problem? Without saying, what the fuck is your problem? You got to go, look at this table. Hey, look at this fucking guy with the, hey, look at that man. Look at this guy over here. You know, sometimes you got to sacrifice someone in the audience for them to straighten up. You know, if a mob boss is like, hey, we're going to do this. And then some guy's like, hey, I think we should do this. And then the guy just fucking shoots him in the head and goes, any other questions? That's kind of the You know, does anybody else want to say anything? And everyone goes, well, no, we're good, boss. That's kind of how it is with crowd work. You just got to sacrifice someone in the front row. And then everyone else is like, all right, we're going to enjoy the show. But yeah, that's pretty much it, man. Hope all is well in your world. If you guys want me to talk about something or you want to write in, you got some questions, send me a DM on Instagram, comment on the YouTube, whatever. There's plenty of ways to contact me. If you click the link on my Instagram bio, it's on, it's my link tree. Takes you to everything. Let me know what city you're in, man. I'm trying to put a tour together for 2023. I'm getting a lot of people in Chicago filling out the mailing list, New Orleans. I can't believe how many people listen to this in Germany. That's pretty wild. But yeah, we got a few Saudi Arabian listeners. If y'all could cut the big check, I will come perform in front of a prince. I will even perform wearing the thing on my head. Sorry, I don't know what it is. here I am just fucking insulting a whole culture. I'll put the thing on my head. They're like, it's called this, you asshole. Fly over there just to get executed. One more thing. I was at 7-Eleven the other night, and usually if there's a homeless guy out front, you know, asking for change, I didn't have change on me at the time, but I always hook up the homeless. You know, I feel bad. And even if they're drug addicts, I'm like, I don't give a shit. I'll buy them I buy them a water bottle and like a protein bar. The key is to get them what they're going to buy anyway with the money besides meth. I don't have just meth in my back pocket. The guy's like, you have any change? And I'm like, I don't, man. But I go, you know what? I'm going to get you something to eat and a water. Is that cool? And he's just like, yeah, sure. And I was like, all right, Dita, you know, like, I know he wants meth money, okay? But I come out and I give him a big bottle of water and a protein bar. And he doesn't even look at me, dude. He doesn't even say thank you, which is fine. Hey, I know I did something good. All right. It is what it is. At least I can drive home knowing this guy will be hydrated and he'll, he's got the energy. But I'm not just going to dole out meth money. There's no free meth money. That protein bar in that water is to give you the strength to walk down the street to the unfinished hotel and steal copper piping. That's what that's for. I will help you. I will give you the tools you need to acquire the meth money. I remember one time I was going into the Trader Joe's in Beverly Hills, and there was a homeless guy out front. People in Beverly Hills, they will spit on homeless people if they could. I mean, they have cameras on every corner. Stop signs have cameras. They just, as soon as there's a homeless person, the police are on their ass immediately. They just have no tolerance for it. But anyway, so I feel bad for this guy, man. He's just sitting out there. Everyone's just ignoring him, you know, not even recognizing him as a human being. And so I see him and he's like, he looks at me and I was like, hey, man, I'm going to get you something to drink and a sandwich. I go, what do you like to drink? And he said, Stella. And I was like, oh, this guy has, taste. He wasn't just like, get me a beer. He was like, I like Stella. I'm like, okay. I go, what kind of sandwich do you want, man? He goes, brie and prosciutto. I said, brie and prosciutto? I don't even know if they fucking sell that here as a pre-made sandwich. Brie and prosciutto? No wonder you're homeless, dude. God. I was waiting for him to say, make sure the bread's gluten-free. Yeah, that was the level he was going to. But wow, man, I think that's the show, episode 107. Thank you guys for tuning in. Again, like and subscribe, share, follow, whatever you got to do. It all helps. Appreciate it. Now I feel like a homeless guy every time I do that. Anything helps. Should just be holding a cardboard sign. Subscribe. Every subscriber helps. Now, it doesn't even tell you who subscribes to the podcast or anything. I think it's only just the YouTube that gives you like an actual number. But yeah, anyway, shout out to Trill Trees and shout out to the sponsor, funnycarcovers.com. Replace your 12-volt cover in your car with a funny car cover today. They have a fire missile button, an eject button, and a, what's the last one? Oh, a nitrous button. But yeah, it's just a funny thing to have in your car. I have one. I have the fire missile button. And it makes me laugh, dude. It's just, it's funny. And when people get in my car, they're like, that's hilarious. So, funnycarcovers.com. Every one you buy, I think they're like $5.99. I get a dollar. So, again, anything helps. But yeah, that'll do it, man. Love you guys. Appreciate you so much more than you know. And I will see you next week.
You want to smoke something?
You've seen him perform all over LA. Give it up for Sean Madden, everybody.
What have we got here? A fucking comedian.
This show's not going to go well. You gotta let him fly.